This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And it is the second breakfast. Good morning. I'm Sonia here. We have Guy with me in the studio.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's 20 minutes past nine and it's now 15 degrees. We're heading up to a top of 24 degrees today. That's not too bad. A little bit balmy. B-A-L-M-Y, of course. Now, don't forget to message us and tell us what your Halloween is all about this year. What crazy things are you people getting into or getting up to? Let us know. So it's second breakfast. Almost time for you. 11. One could say. But here on the second breakfast, we like to talk about, it is still 22 minutes past nine. Now, some interesting news. The Marvel drama continues. Yes, the Marvelverse comics to screen. And speaking of comics to television screen, we have, of course, Agent Carter coming in 2015. Yes, it's all about Peggy Carter. It's a live action that's going to be happening on televisions around the world. Looking forward to it. Except for one little thing, I'm not sure what people think of this, but basically the catchphrase is, sometimes the best man for the job is a woman. Okie dokie. Now, we know, of course, Peggy Carter around the time of The Winter Soldier and, of course, Captain America. So pretty much it kicks off after 1946, I believe. Now, she's also appeared in Marvel one-shot Agent Carter and, of course, the first Avenger, which had Captain America. So Hayley Atwell is her name. She's pretty amazing. I do hope Marvel do a good job of it, but we will have to wait to 2015. So what do you think? Do you think it's a great idea? Do you think it's condescending? I mean, you know, from the Hollywood Reporter, they've called it Agent Carter teaser, stockings, guns, and attitude. Not sure what they're talking about there, but anyway, look, let us know what you think. You can always SMS us on 0427-JOY949. Phone us. Richard's out on the desk at 1300-JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. This is a Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Radio that's out and proud. Joy.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
One, two, ready, go.
Ready, go. Ready, go.
One, two, ready, go.
Yes, Gay Boyfriend. This is Second Breakfast. Good morning. That was The Hazards and with their cult single, Gay Boyfriend. All right, let's get our gay on then this morning. It is 25 minutes to 10, in fact, and 15 degrees, heading towards 24 degrees. I have a fabulous guest here, a very special one. Not just you, Guy, but I have I have Liam Esler. Welcome to the Second Breakfast this morning.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to have you here. And, of course, your first time at Joy, I believe.
Yeah, very exciting.
First time for everything. Look, that's awesome. Now, we've got you in the studio. You've raced in here, which is really brilliant of you, this morning to talk about the panel you're doing, basically a queer panel, I believe, at this year's PAX, which is the huge expo that's going to be on down at the, is it Convention Centre, they call it?
Yeah, still? MCC.
MCC.
Or MCAC.
MCCK, yes, it's big anyway, and it's taking over Melbourne this weekend, isn't it?
It is. Well, this is Australian Games Week. It's the inaugural Australian Games Week.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there you go.
And last night you were at some very special awards.
Yeah, so the Australian Game Developer Awards. Okay. Were very exciting. Lots of really interesting people and some amazing games that won fantastic awards.
Yeah, and how is the Australian Independent Games environment going?
Vibrantly. It's amazing. Since sort of the industry fell into a lull in 2009-2011, yeah. It's come back with a lot of independent developers. And there's a lot of sort of innovation and a lot of actual technical excellence going on, which is really exciting.
That's cool. Yeah, and that includes application games, yeah. And everything. Yeah.
So everything from computers to console to, iPad games, etc.
Great, fantastic. Now, let's talk about your panel and what you're going to be doing there.
For sure.
At PAX.
So our panel is... So we're talking about queering video games.
Yes.
And issues of representation in video games and what we're doing in the industry to... from the inside to sort of change representation and make more diverse stories. So the sort of description is, how can video games explore queer themes and stories? Why is it even a problem if they don't? What impact does the lackluster depiction of LGBT characters have on gamers? Mm-hmm. And most importantly, what steps are developers taking to improve representation in games?
Yeah. And you're a developer yourself. So
I am.
What steps are you taking, Liam?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So I work at a company called Beamdog in Canada. I'm a remote contractor. And so last year I worked on a game called Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition. Mm-hmm. And I had the wonderful opportunity to actually write some queer romances for that game. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Traditionally it's an older game that we sort of refurbished and replenished and revitalized for a contemporary audience on contemporary sort of platforms. And we added some new content, and previously there hadn't been sort of any queer content, and it's one of my favourite games, and always really irked me that there was nobody that represented me or my friends. And so I was really excited to have the opportunity to write two romances. So there was a romance with a lesbian vampire called Hexat, a gay romance with a bloodthirsty half-orc named Dawn, which is really very interesting to write. He's a half-orc.
Wow, how does that happen?
With a great deal of sparring and fighting, I assure you.
Right. So, yeah, they sound like they're very interactive games as well.
Yeah, so it's an RPG.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of choices. And, so that's with RPGs particularly, I feel that representation is really important because you're playing a character. So whenever you play a character, it's great to be able to pick choices that represent you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it makes you feel like you're included,
exactly.
Certainly. And so your panel's also got Luke Miller now.
Yeah.
Luke is awesome. He's an Aussie that's done well.
We love Luke.
Developing his game, of course. One of the very few at the time when it did come out that did have, flushed out full gay characters as well.
My ex-boyfriend, the Space Tyrant. It's an amazing game.
Yes, I always have trouble with the title. I'm glad you jumped in there. So, yeah, look, it's pretty amazing what you're doing, actually. You do work remotely. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I work for Beamdog part-time, and then I work for Surprise Attack, which is an independent publishing label for indie games in Australia. And, yeah, it is. I get up at 6 a.m. I, often have a meeting. Oh, no, sorry, I get up at 5 a.m. I get into the office by 6, and I have meetings, from 6 till 9, work for a couple of hours and move into Surprise Attack for the afternoon.
Right. Okay. Well, that's the job you want to have, people, certainly. Now, Liam, of course, as far as what you can see, the way things are going, is it looking very bright for the future for queer developers, game developers, but also for content, for representation?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Particularly here in Melbourne, we have a lot of queer developers and developers who are very queer friendly. Because we have such a vibrant indie scene is where we tend to get a lot of sort of the diversification.
Yeah.
Because, independent developers tend to be more diverse.
Yes, I guess that's probably why you're independent.
Indeed.
You don't get snapped up by the bigger companies. But look, I mean, there's so much, like you said, so much diversity and so much choice now. So in your situation, are you finding it's, easy to, I guess, companies are becoming more open to the ideas?
Slowly. It's always a battle. So particularly in AAA, so AAA games are sort of the big mainstream games that have a lot of money behind them.
Yeah.
And it can be really scary as a big publisher to throw, hundreds of millions of dollars behind a game and have queer characters and not know how that's going to turn out.
Mm.
There hasn't been a mainstream title with a gay protagonist yet or a lesbian protagonist.
Right. So you don't count Mass Effect and those sorts of games as main?
I tend not to because the default is straight. Don't get me wrong. I love BioWare and I think they're doing amazing work. Their team over there is fantastic. Particularly the Mass Effect and Dragon Age teams are doing fantastic work with with queer representation in games and representation of minorities, etc. Yeah. David Gator is their lead writer on Dragon Age Inquisition, and he's a force for good.
Yes, certainly. You hear positive stuff about them. And, of course, they were one of the leading sponsors, I believe, for GamerX.
Yes.
This past year. Have you been to GamerX in San Fran?
I have not. I was talking to Matt Conn, one of the organisers, the other day.
Yes, and, of course,
yes, it was always very upsetting that I can't get to go, it being on the other side of the world.
But, he's wonderful, yeah.
He's lovely. I really hope to go this year and speak on a panel or two.
Well, let us know if you do, because they're reinventing themselves, which is great.
Yeah.
They almost disappeared there. I was a bit traumatized for a moment.
It was horrifying.
It was, wasn't it?
It was.
We don't need GamerX anymore. We don't need a queer game, video game exhibition expo, but I think we still do.
I think we do too.
Cool. Well, Liam, we'll chat some more in a moment. You're listening to The Second Breakfast here with Sonia, Liam and Guy here on Joy 94.9. It's a new morning, not a new tomorrow. Here we are on Second Breakfast, 12 minutes to 10. It's 15 degrees. It's been that for quite some time now, but we are heading to 24. And that was the fabulous Paulini, the wonderful Aussie Paulini, Oz Idol, of course, one of the alumni. Indeed, air it all out. Here we are on the Second Breakfast, and in the studio we have a guy filling in here. Doing a good job, helping out, learning the ropes, so to speak. And we have Liam as well. Liam is going to be doing a fabulous panel, Queering Video Games, LGBT Representation, and Why It Matters. So thanks for coming in, Liam.
My pleasure.
But it's not over yet. I'm going to put you in the hot seat. We just want to, off air, we were talking about how important it is to have this representation, and for you as a gamer, how important is it for you and for a young person too?
So I grew up in a small town called Wollonga, about an hour south of Adelaide.
Wow.
And so there was nobody like me. My aunt was gay. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the only sort of queer influence I had in my life at all. And she lived 2 hours away. And so for me growing up as, you know, an effeminate kid, you know, it was pretty hard sometimes. I had nobody to look to. I had no role models or anything like that. It would have been amazing for me to have representation, basically, to have someone I could look to who's like, oh shit, like they're like me.
Yeah,
they're, you know, it's someone that I can look up to and I can learn from and I can, you know, take lessons from. It wasn't until BioWare's Jade Empire where I found out there was a scene with one of the male characters that you were able to restore if you made changes to the game files. I think the character's name might have been Sky, mm-hmm. I think, and I was like, oh, that's amazing. Like, I can be a guy and I can romance another guy in this game. And it had a big impact on me as a gamer, you know, sort of. Also, I was already in love with BioWare games, but that sort of cemented it for me. And then obviously they continued with Dragon Age and Dragon Age 2 and Mass Effect and et cetera. So, you know, it's really important. I hear stories all the time of people who grew up without seeing people like them, without having that representation. And it's really sad, particularly for people like me who grew up in small towns and who didn't have anyone to look to.
Mm. And an online community would be helpful.
Well, exactly. Like now we've got sort of an online community. Yeah. Sort of the internet was just sort of coming into being when I was growing up. And I thank God for that, because I don't know what I would have done otherwise. And, you know, games are obviously the biggest entertainment medium now.
They are.
They are the biggest entertainment medium. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're really catering to all sorts of audiences, and we're reaching out to disadvantaged youth and minorities, and make sure that we're supporting them in whatever way we can.
Yeah, I mean, that I'm going to throw a curly one, maybe, but the whole Gamergate thing, of course, representation of women in video games and that sort of thing is being really up in the foreground lately. Lots of controversy. Do you think it's very similar, the experiences for LGBTIQ? And
It has been a lot of the people targeted have been queer.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zoe herself is queer, Zoe Quinn, who's one of the primary targets. And, you know, the whole thing is just really disheartening. Like, as someone in the industry, you know, it's disgusting to know that these people play my games. I'm making games for these people, and I just have to remind myself that, you know, there was this one time where after we released Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition, and I received a message from a player, and she said, thank you so much for writing this lesbian romance. I was really struggling with my sexuality, and I was really struggling with myself. And even though you know, you might have not have written it that way. It really helped me get through it. And for me, that was fantastic because I wrote that content, that romance with this character for a lesbian audience. Like most lesbian sort of romances you see or content in games is written for obviously a straight white male audience.
Yeah.
So it's you know, I felt very strongly about doing it right. And so I consulted with a lot of my friends to make sure that I wasn't, you know, doing anything badly. And it was so lovely to hear that there are, you know, we do reach these people. We do reach people who need it. And so I have to remind myself of that every time I hear some new awful thing about Gamergate.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, we certainly don't condone that kind of behaviour, and it's so unnecessary, and females being threatened and not feeling safe, not just online, but now in their real world, in their real lives, and absolutely. On the run and hiding like Anita Sarkeesian's had to do, and of course, recently, it's just getting very, very bad. So certainly, I hope that at PAX this weekend, I hope this really helps a lot of young queer gamers out there and what you're doing. And there's a whole bunch of different panels. There's Play the Rainbow, Diversity in Video Games with Alice Clark. We've spoken to Alice before. And Everyone Games, Creating Inclusive Gaming Communities. And that's with Ethan Leash, the founder of Melbourne Gamers. And also, again, Alice is going to be in that one. And Joshua Meadows and with Sydney Gamers. So it's good to see Sydney people there too, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
They're it's allowed.
we can have them temporarily and then we can ship them back. So it's great.
Back.
It's fine.
No, that's great. So you looking forward to this weekend then?
I am. I'm really excited. I'm so glad that PAX has taken such a shine to the LGBTQI community.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic, and you know, I can't thank them enough for the effort and the outreach they're doing.
Cool. Well, I wish you all the best of luck for your panel, Queering Video Games, LGBT Representation and Why It Matters. And it's just great talking to you, of course, Liam.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah. Now, where can people go? Let's see. They can go to the PAX site, which is aus.paxsite.com. It's pretty easy. And there are so many different panels. You can just head and click on the schedule there, and I'm sure we'll find your panel there, Liam, amongst a whole influx of wonderful people from all around the world are coming this weekend.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've got people from, you know, China, Singapore, America. Yeah.
Cool. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on to My Second pleasure. Breakfast on Joy 94.9. Let's have some more music in a moment. And we'll be taking you through to lunchtime, when it'll be for your first lunch, of course, for those who are about to have their 11Zs. We still have to wait a little bit for another hour or so. It is 5 minutes to 10, 15 degrees here on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.